Blog Talk Radio.
You may want to rethink your weekend plans. When you head to Macy's Backstage, you could win up to $25 off your next purchase. It starts with finding deals you can't believe at Macy's Backstage. Off-price, on-trend, arriving daily. Make any $30 purchase and get a scratch-off card. Everyone wins $5, $10, or $25 off their next Backstage purchase. Monday, December 3rd through Sunday, December 16th. Go on, win the weekend. Saturday and Sunday. Details on card. For locations, visit Macy'sBackstage.com.
Nobody ever told you that maybe sometimes you need some medication, right? They probably said that. I don't know. Maybe they didn't tell you that yet.
Oh,
maybe
yeah. They probably,
you have medication.
They probably did tell me that. The only problem is they want me to pay for it.
Yeah, well, you're getting ready to lose all your insurance here, so we'll see what happens after that happens. Right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we got a really interesting person that we're going to interview today. I go ahead and introduce him?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, of course. You know, he's into. You don't like to do what? What you don't like to do?
Bart, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Bart. This is Bart Smythe. And, Bart,
right.
What I'm going to do is introduce you, read a little bit of information about you, and then Lamont and I are going to ask you about 2 million questions. He has a million. I have a million. So I want to just tell our listeners who you are and what you've been doing for a great deal of your life, and then we'll get started. So today we have Bart Smythe, who is a master practitioner of 30 years in various Eastern and indigenous philosophies, cultures, and spirit ways, as well as the popular Yuen method, and I'm hoping that I'm pronouncing that one correctly. He was solely responsible for bringing this entire body of work to Europe for Dr. Yuen, where Bart trained over 400 therapists. He is also a grand master of Tai Chi, holds certificates in Tai and Hansa Shiatsu, massage and neuromuscular sports therapy. After a serious injury from a car accident, Bart's life shifted from owning a successful architectural design contracting company in San Francisco to working internationally as a transformational teacher in healing. As many healers have serious crisis situations in their lives, that is what happened for Bart. A car accident was the turning point for his life. And in 1987, he began healing his physical and emotional life training with shamans in Central and North American traditions, as well as in the Amazon. After many extremely intense years, he was guided to study in Peru, where he met Don Benjamin of the Shipibo tribe. With many years of work, Bart was initiated by Don Benjamin in 1998. This initiation was after more than a decade of diligent and continuous integrative works. In the U.S., with a teacher who worked with two other maestros for 25 years and Don Benjamin. Bart integrated this work and began sharing this knowledge beginning in 2001. Shamanic technologies he shares are well in place developed in this tradition, which builds safety as well as competency. In addition to those studies, Bart studied Tai Chi, Qigong, I Ching, and a mixture of other martial arts since the age of 13. He holds adventure trainings and workshop teachings and combining the UN method, life purpose, which is also known as Precision of Vision series, movement therapies, equine trainings, and other learning methods, as well as art, music, comedy, and great food, which he considers an essential component. Although Bart works usually remotely, at this time he travels extensively through Europe, Scandinavia, Dubai, and the United States. He is joining us today, I think, from Sweden, if I'm correct. So where I think you live now with your family. So, Bart, thank you for being with us. We're looking forward to talking with you about all these kinds of subjects that you're bringing to us, which is really kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us, and welcome.
My pleasure. Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure. And I'm actually I'm in Nevada right now.
Where?
On tour, and I'm outside Las Vegas about an hour.
Oh, wow.
I have a property. Yeah, I have a property out here. I lived in Las Vegas. I grew up in Southern California and worked around the Southwest doing construction and building things. But I wound up in 92 in Las Vegas, where I, after my accident in San Francisco, I landed here with some athletes and started my Tai Chi schools and therapy business back then. So I fell in love with the desert, and I'm going home to Sweden for about 2 months of darkness. I mean, it's dark. So
you fell in love with the climate in Nevada?
Well, I'm kind of a fair weather kind of guy. I do my summer tours in Dubai and the States, or winter tours there, and then my summers I stay in the North Country. So
yeah, he's a big.
But yeah, I love the desert. Yeah.
He's a big show off. You hear Matt? He's a fair weather kind of guy.
Yeah.
He spent time in
right.
Dubai. Okay, we got you.
I get a lot of questions to that,
I'm
but I really
feel blessed.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lamont. I got about 1,000 questions, but you can ask yours first because I know it will be a world-class question.
Yeah, I was just going to tell Bart, you know, I lived in Vegas for a while. I lived in Henderson and kind of all over doing my old music stuff. So I happened to be there, and I was exposed to the cold there in Vegas and also the heat. So I know what that's about, too.
Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Texas, where we really have seasons. You know, out this way, we don't have true seasons no more like we used to. You know, we used to be able to tell winter, spring, summer, and fall, but now everything kind of runs together.
Yeah, it does. Hopefully not forever.
No. Okay, Matthew, you can jump in there now. I know you want to ask Bart of me in questions.
I do. I do.
He's not going to tell you where he keeps his money or his stash at, so don't ask those.
All right. I know where you keep yours, though, so I'm going to have to worry about that. So Bart, when we were talking about a topic here, we were talking about limiting beliefs and intelligence, and I'm interested in where you want to take us on that. As far as I know, at least Lamont and I have been talking on this program together. Lamont's been here for 9 years, but I just joined him about, 6 months ago, maybe, Lamont? And we have not – you're the first shaman that we have had on this show, so I'm really interested in asking you what that's about. And in this case, it looks like it might be having something to do with beliefs. So what would you like us to focus on with you here?
Well, the shamanic part of my work is – I would say the same truth or thread – with all technologies that are effective is, I would say, clarity. And clarity brings freedom in any exchange, right? When people are clearer, then you can have a better communication. When you're clear, internally, you know, energies, blood, nutrition, and waste flow well. That's Chinese medicine. If everything's flowing right, you don't get sick. If something happens, you get plugged up. Then inflammation, infections, and then blah blah blah. But when I wrote that question, that statement about is it limiting beliefs or intelligence? I'm kind of a mechanical type person and problem solver. That's what my friends call me, and I was that during my construction period. That's one thing that my crew was good at was solving problems economically and quickly, and that's what I want to do with my clients, too, when I'm working with people. And so there's a lot of talk about limiting beliefs. And I always like to get to the source of what anything is, because once you find out how things are generated, then you can make a clear choice and clear up any confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, what I've discovered in my own experience, because I had my experience, we all have our own experience growing up. I had beliefs and behaviors and resistance to change in different areas of my life that were in place by experiences or what I talk about in my courses. I've developed a series of courses, not only the life purpose, and I do the UN method, which is quantum physics, physics applied to thought and the body to create the path to instant healing, actually, is what happens often with people. Once the path is clear, people can heal themselves very quickly. But what I saw in my own experience was that if I was looking for limiting beliefs, just the thought of looking for limiting beliefs, then that's perspective and it's a perception. And what I saw in my own once I went through, I started psychotherapy, but that was run by shamans. It was an integration of Western and Southern psychotherapy, psychological models, and then applied with the natural world. And limiting beliefs or therapies, such as the natives do, take you into those experiences where you could be like a car accident, right? A car accident happens, and you have. That's why they have all these cameras, and now they have all these cameras, and they still have to have people decipher what the cameras are seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like everybody's got a different point of view, and we have a different point of view. And what happens for me, and it's not just my work, it's I've modified and changed what's worked with me and just made it more simple and more direct and actually with results that are more widely seen, but those points of views where people are doing the best with the intelligence they are born with the information they've been given or the experience they've been given or the lack of guidance and proper experience to handle the situations that are coming to us or like a car accident. For me, I've had a lot of car accidents, and my two worst were when I was not moving. I was standing in my truck the first time, and I was standing in my motorhome the second time. I've had others when I've been moving. Yeah, I was hit by a truck going like 45, 50 miles an hour while I was standing in my motorhome in Las Vegas in 2006. But, yeah, it was a wild ride. But for my system to know how that all came about and what happened took me, Western science and medical couldn't help me. They can't do anything for brain trauma or spinal injury like that except give you steroids and pain pills and maybe some physical therapy. But I do all that myself, so I took it under my own experience to take care of that. What I had to do was actually get in there and reawaken parts of me that were totally unaware of how that truck crashed into the back of my truck, because they were my motorhome, because they were still in a holding pattern trying to figure out what the heck happened. But I had a lot of those growing up. You know, just moving from one school to the next can be traumatic for us when we have a set of friends and, you know, tribal connections and humor. And then you move to a new school and everybody's got their own history and they have their own jokes and everything. And you have to learn to blend, and there's nobody to guide you on that. So these are just two simple ones I could throw out that maybe some people in your audience could relate to. And then, well, with my intelligence, I did the best I could at each time, and I was raised a certain way, so I handled things in a certain way, which certainly didn't serve me once I got to a new level and caused problems for me. And then the thing that was making it safe for me where I moved to didn't work for me to be in the world with other people of a different point of view. So does this make sense?
Well, if you could give an example of what you're talking about, it would help.
Well, kind of seemed like y'all are.
You used the word.
It sounds like we're all a product of our environment, and our experiences are based on that, isn't it? And because coupled with a certain amount of common sense or intelligence, I guess that we got from our parents or somebody, to be able to adapt and have enough sense to know what we know as well as know what we don't know.
And that's important right there. There's so much that we don't know. And there's so much that there's no way for us to know, even in the occurrences of what we think we know, if that makes sense. So we don't know a lot of reasons why people behave the way they do.
I know, they're crazy. They're crazy.
Well, you sound like you're from Los Angeles. That's where I'm from. So yeah, they are crazy. And for me, I moved from the country of northern New York, where, I mean, I had to walk a mile and a half to my friend's house or ride a bike. And they moved me into Altadena, you know, at like 67 with the Vietnam War and drugs and racial violence, a lot of other shit going on. Excuse my language. But, you know, it was like we're from this point of view, and I go to that point of view, and I learned how to survive there. But that survival that I learned there, and everything didn't work for me, but I had no clue why everybody was doing what they were doing. No way. But I created a judgment of the world, and I refined my behavior to make sure that I was okay. And that could be, and that's why I said this could be just for transferring schools. But you were right. I like the way you tied it together, what I said. Yeah, our environment creates us. But there's known, unknown, and unknowable experiences, which can still be, our system can still be looking for the answers as we move into new territory, which then actually doesn't, it takes up the, we could just say it takes up the hard drive space for potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's working overtime trying to figure things out. Yeah, go ahead.
I got a question for you, Bart, that I always have a problem with people. Why is it so hard for people to look at any given situation from other people's perspective?
Well, why do you think?
They crazy. I mean, to put it in simple terms, because to me, as an intelligent individual, I think I have common sense. My mother used to say common sense isn't common. But I think if you could look at a situation from your vantage point, and you also have the ability to step out of yourself and look at it from two or three other positions around the table, that gives you the ability to come to a very intelligent, powerful decision, because you have all the knowledge necessary to make an intelligent, powerful decision.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like you had a guide there in your mother that modeled that for you.
Yeah, my mom was a gangster.
There's a lot of common sense in gangsters. Right, you know everything I learned in business. You know, I grew up in L.A. during the '60s. You know, everybody was a gangster after the Godfather.
Yeah, what I meant by that, my mother was a Blackfoot Indian out of Oklahoma, so they had certain beliefs and ideals about how things, you know, where's to go and how you handle certain situations. And I guess that was put in me at a young age.
Yeah, so but you had modeling of that, and you're able to listen from more than one point of view. I would say you're able to be neutral and then see the different
sides. Yeah, I want to listen. I want to listen, because, you know, a lot of people say, you talk, and I find it makes more sense to listen, because when you listen and speak less, people really don't know what you're thinking about, but it gives you the ability to know what they're thinking about.
Maybe. But the question was, you know, why do people, do they have a hard time being able to...
I'm going to try to switch.
Listen and have different... opinions or points of view about a subject instead of holding back
top and bottom,
right?
Right, right.
And for me, it's simple. It's a default program of defense. And then if that kicks in, then you don't even have control over that, because the subconscious is age trained. It's like being a basketball player. You make 1,000 hoop shots a day, you know, you got it, right? So then martial arts, I'm a martial artist my whole life. It's always repetition is the mother of success. But if you're in a situation where you don't have a voice and you're judged for everything you say or do, it could be at home or in the school, then it's really not safe to have anything but maybe a closed opinion, right? Because everything's up for attack or judgment. And maybe that's for yourself, too. I mean, we're usually harder on ourselves than anybody else could be anyway. So. And that's what I was getting at. It's like, for me, I went from, you know, I was a sports guy. I played football, hockey, soccer, all that, and speed in New York. I moved to L.A., and all of a sudden there was a lot of violence, and I didn't know about it. When we fought in New York, we wrestled over a baseball game. Here I'm confronted with people walking up and punching me in the face, and then gangs of people punching me. And so that's where I started the martial arts. But I studied hard style, and then after I got to a level where nobody fought me anymore, and we basically became friends.
What color
in high school?
I have.
And then, but I kept training, and I mean, I could sit in a bar and have a beer, and somebody would want to fight. And I was like, "What did I do?"
Wild Wild West, you know, the gunfighter mentality.
The
highlight color. Fight the
no
top
orange,
dog.
No yellow, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I was building condominiums in Michigan on the lakeshore. I went home one night in a Christian village. Everybody's in suits. I had long hair and a ponytail. But I sat in at a bar to have a draft beer before I went home after a long day. And the guy walked up and wanted to fight. I said, "What did I do?" He said, "I don't like you." I go, "Okay." I pulled a Clint Eastwood. I said, "Okay, I got 5 minutes. Let's go." And then I sat down. But in my system, I started questioning then. But up to that point, it was like I had a default that anything was handled or ultimately going to be handled in a in a way that one had to use his physical abilities to navigate a problem.
Extra large.
And that's why I did that. But after I changed my training and it went to Tai Chi and internal martial arts, where you had to actually learn how to feel your energy and what your thoughts are doing with your energy or what's the environment doing with your energy, that's when I started finding a new path, and all those other things just went away because of what I was trained in. So I realized that, A, I'd been trained to go to Vietnam, trained to fight in the streets, and go to school.
How much
I didn't
did
go to Vietnam, but I had my draft card.
Yeah. When you had your accident, you was training prior to that, weren't you? Or were you?
I've been training since I was 13. I train every day, but I train different things now.
And
that's what I'm saying. That's what I saw. But
no, I just been asked because of your training and your belief, you feel like that helped you with your recovery.
Well, beyond beliefs, I had a knowing. I didn't have a knowing the first time I was injured, where I had
Royal
to,
Blue
to the hospital.
All right.
I didn't know about being stopped physically. I'd been injured quite a few times, motorcycles and skiing and stuff like that. But it's kind of like you get injured on the football field, you get knocked out, you get up, and you don't play the next play, right? You know. Now they know that's not smart, but we did that. And so my knowing came from when I was in my first accident, which happened in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I was cleaning my truck, and a drunk municipal driver in a dump truck crashed into my truck. And I went down in the corner of the wheel well spot. 2 weeks later, I'm in the hospital, and they're giving me a combination of drugs that when I got off of them, went to a drug rehab to find out why I was so depressed. They said what they'd given me was the same as giving me heroin. And my whole system changed. So then I used my martial arts and acupuncture, and I changed my diet. I went into this is what got me into psychotherapy, because after those pills, I was depressed, and I didn't know what depression was. So all I could say is I was crazy. I wasn't the same person that I was before the pills. And so what I saw was, by training and doing the right things, my body could heal itself. So I've had much worse injuries since then. I've been killed twice, and also I come back. And in these places where Western medicine couldn't help me, I had this knowing, and I didn't have to believe. I just said, okay, my body can take care of itself. I just have to do what's necessary to support it. And with that knowing, I could relax into it. And that's the knowing that I didn't have the first time. And that's what I bring to my clients, too. I have a knowing that the body can do it, and we can come back from different places. That confusion is just confusion. Once you're not confused, you're clear. And it's simple,
Bart,
but to get there.
Bart.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I can't let this pass. What did you mean when you said, I have been killed twice?
Well, I got killed once on the streets, and then I got I was in my guitar teacher's car, and he should have fixed the brakes, but he fixed the air conditioning. But brakes wouldn't have helped. I had somebody pull out right when I shifted into fourth gear in his Audi on Tropicana, in an old Audi. I was just doing him a favor. A Jeep pulled straight out in front of me. I hit it going probably 45 miles an hour, like hitting a brick wall. And that one took me off the planet. And I came back.
How quickly did you come back?
I couldn't really say. I would say about, I don't know. I can't tell you. I would say probably about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I was clearly on the other side experiencing things.
So that was what
clearly felt myself
people now in. People now would call that the near death experience.
Near death.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That happened to you twice?
Yeah, I got taken out in a fight. Guys attacked me from behind. So
it sounds like one of the things that I have heard about shamanic tradition is that somehow the body gets taken apart and put back together again. Is that part of your experience?
Well, what it is the soul or the spirit or the information of the individual is how I view it, and I see it work with my intention working with people in different exchanges. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen with each client, but we clear the space and set the stage, so to speak, for that part of us that's either still holding or has been on vacation someplace to come
mm-hmm.
home. And they call it soul. They call it soul retrieval or whatever.
Okay.
And so that's how I view it. And parts of us, as I said, like when people are killed or almost killed, or doesn't even have to be that big of a threat. Could, like one of my teachers said, don't have an alarm clock on too loud. It cause you to need a soul retrieval. If you wake up, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's right. We're remembering who we are.
Yeah.
We're coming back together. Exactly right.
Well, when you said that you help people find clarity, could you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Well, I work, like I'm doing a course, and I just did one in Sarasota. I'm going to do another one. It's a trial run with a new promoter down there. It's a course I developed called True Abundance. And in this course, I don't help anybody to find clarity, I would say. What I do is, because I have such a long history of a certain approach to work, and as I said, the foundation of great teachers and guides that have assisted me, I put together a course which, in the answering of certain questions that I've created and then how I work with people, it sets the stage again for them to be able to see for themselves how their intelligence worked at the time where things went south on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect. It's just the circumstances had changed. And that's a simple one. There can be more varieties of the theme, but they see it for themselves. That's the key that's the key intention of my work and my teacher's work. You know, they could have told me all kinds of things. They could have, like, psychoanalyzed me, told me all these different things, give me programs to go on. But they let me go on my way and find the places I need to find on my own with all the faith in the world that I would do that which was the right direction for me. And, of course, help to build that foundation in my system to have that availability, just like training the martial arts. When I switched to Tai Chi, and I started with Aikido first, which is a beautiful art. You know about that one. But it's instead of defending or offense, it's really about harmonizing and blending with anybody's attack. And you actually wind up taking care of yourself and the attacker at the same time. So it's very... Yeah, it takes skill and sensitivity. And so that changed my point of view. And then once I changed my point of view and intention, then the world changed. And so this is what happens often, I mean, in all my work, really. It's people, I see how I did that. And with that, you can see it was perfect for the time. And with that, then I can launch using my same intelligence, but I have a new understanding of the world and myself in it. And I don't make those mistakes, and I don't have limiting beliefs. I have supportive knowledge. Is that
so?
That?
Well, I think I understand in theory what you're talking about. I was wondering if we could talk, like, for an example. I have a kid that just started working with, who was in his early 20s, who was, his parents say, he just wants to stay home and do video games all day long and doesn't really know what he wants to do with himself. And he's sort of been sent to me to get some direction, which, you know, clearly I can't give him direction. He's got to find his own. But is that the kind of person that you find you can be useful to?
I actually have a lot of clients, more and more, because of the video addiction and the lack of contact and guidance in the world today. I am effective with that, and also everybody has a starting point. So that starting point is basically, from my experience, is just spending time with these guys or girls. It's usually guys for me. I'm a guy, so it's usually just spending time with them, so they're not spending time on the computer. Is where you start. And then it, for me, it's a process. I actually want, it's one of the things I'm looking forward to have more structures to supply that time giving thing and natural time with human beings for this, because it's the biggest problem on the planet right now is video addiction. Lack of guidance. Everybody's working so much. The parents are on their home,
and the parents stop being parents. They want to be friends with their kids instead of parents.
Yeah,
so there's a structural problem right there from the foundation.
You're right.
The foundation is weak.
You're right. I was lucky. I was raised by a man who was tough, but he was involved, and he wasn't my friend, but he loved me.
So having a video addiction, do you, from a shamanic point of view, what do you assume that might be about?
Well, it's confusion. It's way too much digital information coming. I'll just say it from, because shamanic, you know, I did go through the process, and I do the work, and I did get delivered it. It's not something you can study. But the Indians just work with the confusion that can take place if you grew up in the Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And with natural foods and herbs and just being in nature. I mean, my first 10 days in the Amazon jungle, and I've been all over the world training in jungles and stuff like that, but just sitting there by a river with these guys and doing basically nothing, at the end of 10 days, I felt like this big wheel stopped. And then by the time I left, it started going in a new direction in my system. And that's what I would say the shamanic part is, just connecting with nature. And being with people is connecting with nature. We have nature there. So I don't like to lean on the shamanic part for that. But if I'd say, just from confusion can happen on all levels, and digital information is useless information. But our computers take it in through our glands, our eyes, our senses. We have all these radio frequencies, and then radiation going into our eyes. I have a guy in Sweden. I finally got him off, or he got himself off it, but he was smoking hash and sitting there all hours of the night with a big screen TV and a computer playing these computer games. And I sat in front of that thing, almost threw up. I almost threw up. I was like, Jesus Christ. You know, I was like, wow. And it was like, excuse me, that language isn't okay.
How much does diet have to play with this? Because I was thinking about what you were saying. When you were sitting by the river with these guys, and also thinking about why you were there, spending time there. I'm sure you had to eat food from whatever's available locally.
It was a special diet. It was a special program. But what I wanted to say was, I got to spend time in the jungle every day, a lot of time alone, until I found out that I was ignorant to just all the different ways I could be killed by all the different things. Then I thought, well, maybe I'll go with a guide. But other than that, it was like we ate rice, lentils, some chicken, plantain, and herbs. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I know from my own experience, like where I live in Sweden, all we eat is wild meat or grass-fed, free-range, organic meat and chicken and eggs. We don't get that at the store. And when I go out in the world, it's just another story. There's a different information in the food we're eating, and I don't feel well, so I don't eat it out in the world. So it's, and I think diet has a lot to play with it. Sugar, I don't eat sugar.
When you say wild meat, what were you speaking of exactly? What types of meat?
Well, they hunt moose and deer, and they have elk there, and a lot of wild pig. I don't eat that much. I eat moose. I have a lot of people around me that feed me moose, and I eat a lot of chicken and eggs up there. Not a lot. I'm probably 80% vegetarian, but yeah, diet has a lot to play with it, but it's not the only thing. With the video games, it's everything. It's a, you're working on so many systems that get locked in and entrained, but they're absorbing all this excess information. So I work with what I do with people to defrag their computer, so to speak, and delete all these different excess informations possible. And then Tai Chi is a great tool for this because it's round circular motions, grounding, centering, and feeling centered. And kids just don't feel centered. You know, they don't have something that, you know, when we were kids, I was never watching TV. I was always outside either playing football, working with mini bikes or go-karts or something, or climbing trees.
Totally different time.
I know. My parents never knew where I was. But they trusted me, right?
Yeah, we know that we knew how to come in the house when it got dark.
And we knew what would happen if it didn't. If we didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't no more of this, well, I talk to my kids every day. I never, ever discipline them. We have an understanding. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see a three-year-old really understanding some adult issues.
No, they have to have clear. You know, I ran construction crews. And everybody, we had a meeting every morning. Everybody knew what they had to do. If they had a question, they knew they had a question. They weren't sitting there out in space, right? But you know, for me, it's like I don't think that we are offering. That's why I offer comedy, music, horses, goats, chickens. Kids get to be with animals and get out of themselves and out of their heads, because now they're in their heads. And as you say, that, you know, parenting has become almost a political agenda, it seems like, and that everybody wants to look good and be good or be nice, but there's no programming. You don't have to be hard on kids, but you want to enliven them and show them something and follow their curiosity. And I know for me, I was a hyper kid. I still am. I'm 61 and I'm going 90 miles an hour. Everybody around me goes, well, what's going on? Do you drink too much coffee? I go, no. I just have a project to do. And we're not trained in project management. We're not trained in completion of something, you know. And when we get to complete something for ourselves, instead of, like, get information for somebody else to judge us by, when I complete something for myself, it's something that's mine. And then I go, doesn't matter. It's not about an ego or anything like that. It's just like, oh, I did that for myself, and now I'll go do something else that feels good too.
Well, before we get too much to the end of this, I wanted to ask you, if I could interrupt for a second, about Dr. Yuen.
Sure, sure.
If you could talk a little bit about what that's about. That was an interesting part of your biography there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's Grandmaster Shaolin Kung Fu. I did train some martial arts with him. He's David Carradine's teacher. So he's the one that did the Kung Fu TV series. He was the blind man doing, he was the blind man, the guy doing the martial arts for the blind gentleman, the blind monk. And he became my teacher in 94, and I was already trained in many modalities. I don't list them all, but I trained in a lot of different things. And this came my way, and it's just rocked my world, changed my life, and I think everybody should know it. And I'm doing courses in it. Again, I've been on hiatus from it, but it's biocomputer technology. Our systems work like computers, and when we know how to work our own mainframe, we can really improve every aspect of our life. And so we're setting up courses in Los Angeles and Florida for the spring right now. And this came to me.
Is it based in martial arts?
Well, he used it in his martial arts. That's how he developed it. He was 8-time world champion, undefeated in Kung Fu. And he could always sense and read the intention of his opponent, which happens with training, but also some of us are born with superior gifts, and he's one of those guys. And then he used this approach to use positive thought and right placement to improve the ability of his students to learn and adapt to the information faster. And so he developed that, and I was actually with him at the beginning, so to speak. He'd gotten things, you know, in a functional layout, but we've developed this course over the last 25 years. And it's fantastic. And there's hundreds of systems out there, but this one for me is it gets the job done because it's my clients taking care of themselves with their information. And yeah, so biocomputer technology. I've written a little bit on my website, and as I said, for me, I still use all these other things because I like to eliminate any need for healing anyway. I don't really look at healing. I think, you know, for me, when I knew what to do, I did it. But I didn't do it if somebody's yelling at me. I was telling my son the other day, I said, yeah, I saw that a lot of carpentry bosses were treated us like drill sergeants. So finally, I used to hire on, just say, you know, my name's Bart. I'm Henry. My friends call me Bart, and I have a really short temper and a big hammer. So if you tell me, you can tell me anything to do, I'll do it. You treat me kind, fine. You call me names or start yelling at me, I don't know what I'll do. So
Bart, let me ask you a question.
Is there a
number of different teachings and philosophies and styles, or is there still some out there that are unknown, or is it like 5 different children that have a lot of different cousins and relatives? And the reason I ask that is I had the pleasure of meeting Frank Dukes a while back, and I know he has a teaching, and he teaches a style, and it seemed like there's always some healing associated with some kind of way.
Style of martial art or healing?
Both.
There's thousands of martial arts.
Right.
I mean, there's foundational styles in Kung Fu, but you know, it's morphed and evolved through Wing Chun and then Jeet Kune Do with Bruce Lee, and then. But as far as healing modalities, there's so many different approaches and so many wonderful ways. It's like, you know, for me, one of a Indian spiritual master told me, he says, one destination, many airlines. Pick the one that feels best to you. You know, so, this one, as far as Dr. Yuen's work, I don't think, for one thing, there's different ways to work with information, but the foundational principles will always be the same. Everything I work with is foundational principles. So if you do your own thing with those principles and without your own spin on reality, then I think that you've got something that fits you and it works. So yeah, I don't know what's out there. It's like I don't study a lot of martial arts, although I see a lot of them and I go, wow, I'd like to do that one. I'd like to do that one.
Well, what is it that makes Dr. Yuen's approach special?
Because it's going to the mainframe. It's going to the source of information and how he's put it together, you know, in a format, you know, with help from, I know all of us are involved in it, he's developed it in a way that is direct, quick, and very thorough. So, he was one of the first guys on the block with this, and what I've seen is there's been adaptations and changes and different things along the way, whether people came up with it with their own or they're just working out their own system. I just see this as a complete system. It functions on all levels, all aspects of the human past, present, and future, and every level of engagement in life and health and fitness and actually happiness and clarity just like, you know, you're talking about the kids, you know, that's so important right now, because one thing people don't understand too, I work a lot with brain trauma, traumatic brain injury and stuff like that. I'll just let you know that, because I've had 9 major spinal injuries and brain injuries, and I've just healed all of them in the last year. I'd say actually my last upgrade was about 8 weeks ago. And I've had trauma in my brain since I was 3, when I fell 8 feet onto concrete on my head.
Trying to do catch up with Evel Knievel or something?
I guess. I don't know what it was. I think, well, actually, it was a lot of, I think it's karma. But, it, you know, the other thing was I was trying to knock myself back into center. That's Oriental philosophy. Like, if you kick yourself, cut yourself, stub your toe, you're opening up some energy line there. Your subconscious is guiding you to go where you need to look. And I had that brain trauma my whole life. And I finally whacked myself a good one 7 years ago, slipping on the ice in Sweden. And I had to stop. It took me 3 years to rebuild myself this time and to get back functional.
Okay,
so,
Matthew, don't try that one, Matthew.
I won't.
But I wanted to go to the, kids, because working your thumbs on a cell phone all the time, that overdevelops a part of the brain as kids mm-hmm. are growing that actually creates a problem. It's a whole nother structure, both in the brain and set of neuro signaling and stuff like that. So that's why I go back to Tai Chi, because the circles are round, the movements are round and soft, centered, and you work both sides of the brain. And this is a great way to approach your young man there, to get him into some form of physical. And that's the first path of the initiate, is to take control of your body with diet, training, and sleep. That's what I did, and that's what I see works with people who are so, you know, they're in a place where nobody knows what to do with them. They're sending them to you, right? And you're up against the 24-hour feed of information from Wi-Fi and cell phones. I mean, I got addicted to YouTube too. I had to break myself off of YouTube. It's too much fun.
Well, you almost, like you said, you used the word defrag. You almost have to do that on a daily basis, because it is a wealth of information out there. And I find myself, I do it constantly, and I have to come back to focus on what's relative to my existence and what's important to me. Because if not, it's so easy to become derailed, distracted, and get off mm-hmm. course, you know. And end up following
Absolutely.
Somebody else's pattern that's not even yours.
Exactly. And you said it right there, and that's what we're trained to do. And it's a different path than a path of mastery, where you follow a master, but the master makes sure that you lead and do your own thing, right? But we're not given those types of tools.
And then when you start doing your own thing, and then, of course, you know, you get hit with, you know, you're selfish, you're self-centered, you only think about yourself. Why does people do that when common sense tells you that in order for you to do something for somebody else or take care of somebody else, you have to first be in a position to take care of yourself. In order to take care of yourself, don't you have to think about yourself?
Exactly. That's just I don't know what that is. It's a hypnosis, right? You know, people think that what I saw was everybody who tried to take care of me didn't know what they were doing for themselves. I finally said, forget it. You know.
mm-hmm.
And I knew it
yeah.
worked. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. Nobody was happy at school. Nobody was happy in the job I was going for. So I said, okay. I like building houses. I went out and learned how to build houses, so I figured out what to do. But it's just like you said, you know, it's following somebody else. What's the leadership? Where is the leadership? And actually, are they constructing something of themselves in their lives and that they can take into the world? And that's
yeah. Well, let's hit the spiritual part of this too, man, because some people just don't have a good spirit.
Yeah.
And I guess if you have a positive spirit, then you're going to find happiness, pleasure, and building and doing something productive and constructive.
Well, may I speak to that? And this is my point, if you want it. It's not that I think we all have a good spirit. It's like, but in our exposure to different behaviors that are inappropriate and without proper guidance, we can develop a shutdown system that looks like it's unhappy. But again, mm-hmm. for me, it's I don't know what to do. I don't know why these people are doing this to me. I don't like it. I want to make sure that nobody ever does it again. That's what happened to me in L.A. And then after about 10 years of being able to discover other people who were less than kind in the world that I had to take care of myself or others with, then I said, well, there's, as I said, that time in the bar in Michigan told me, well, I'm not doing anything, but there's something about me that's calling for somebody to get angry. And that's a mixed bag there, right there. Mm-hmm. It's all that. But I said, okay, what's my point of view? I didn't even realize that I'd shut myself down to fight because I hated fighting. I hated violence. But you could have an experience in school where you hate to be in front of people or whatever, and then you just go into resistance. And it's like, there's a great movie on Netflix. I'd like to say this. There's a great movie. It's called Buck. It's on Netflix. And I would say this is about, you can look at this and you can see, if you want to say it's a bad spirit or a negative spirit about things, or how things happen with horses, because horses speak volumes of their owners and their environment, and they can switch in a second. That's why we like to use horses with kids and other people, because what you're thinking, you will see in the horse immediately. Mm. Like one time, my wife and I had an argument, and I got on the horse. She said, I wouldn't get up there while you're angry. I said, okay, I'll calm down. I got on the horse and he threw me. I guess I wasn't confident.
Either that or the horse
was
on your wife. Hey, look, either that or the horse was on your wife's payroll. Yeah. She was giving the horse more apples and sugar than you were.
Yeah. We need to give Bart a little time.
Go ahead.
We need to give Bart a little time to do some advertising here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Are we
okay,
close?
Thank you very much.
Are we close to?
Yeah, we're like maybe 3 minutes. Go ahead, Bart. You can tell everybody where they can get in touch with you, man, where they can get your books and contact you and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you very much.
We already know the witness protection program that Matthew's in. So.
That's why I don't tell people where I am, Bart.
Well,
but
I won't ask.
Lamont found me. Lamont found me, so you know it must not be too hard.
Very cool. Well,
so Bart,
yeah,
tell us how to get in touch with you.
You can go to my name, Bart Smyth, BARTSMY, not TH, BartSmyth.com, and it'll show up a modern day shaman. That's my brand. We're working on a modern day shaman. You can also go there, modernday shaman.net. So it's either bartsmyth.com or modernday shaman.net. And I'm restructuring everything. I'm actually changing my website now, but it's up and running. I give free group sessions online. And if you do go to my website, you can sign on the drop in box. I don't market to you anything. I don't do that. I mean, I have a little shop that we've developed for EMF protection for cell phones and things like that, and some Chinese herbs and a few other things. But I don't do mass mailings, pumping people. I don't do that. But I do offer a free group session online once a month. And sometimes, like this last 3 months, I've been on a lot of tour and doing things. We're going to do a couple days in a row coming up here shortly. And what that looks like is you get a phone number sent to you if you sign up for it. And if you want to join, you call in on the call line, and I tap into everybody who's on the call, and I do this work that I do. And you can go to my website, and you were wondering what some results were for some of my work. I can tell you just a quick one. A doctor came to my course in Istanbul, Turkey, and he left. He quit his corporate medical job and wrote a single player solo performance about him and his father, where he gained about all the information that had stopped him and led him in a direction to do something he didn't want to do his whole life, as he hated being a doctor. And now he's got a successful, within 1 week, he quit, wrote this thing. Now he's performing. He has audiences come in, and they are healing, or they're seeing themselves in this wonderful performance. And it's like, wow. It's like, that's one experience. And then I've seen other people access extreme health from brain trauma. I have a brain trauma specialist doctor that works with sports teams here, and he had his own brain trauma. No one could help him, and I'm over the phone after the first session. He's up and running. So I'm very good with brains and nervous system and things like that, and you can read about that on the phone. It's all done at distance on the phone. So BartSmyth.com or InModernDayShaman.com. Thank you guys very much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for joining us, Bart. It's great to have you.
Great. Thanks a lot, Bart.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next week, you guys, on Counter Player Play, 2:30, wherever you're at, come check us out, worldmover.com. If you're late joining the show, you can hear the whole show in its entirety. See you next week.
Take care, buddy.
To rethink your weekend plans. When you head to Macy's Backstage, you could win up to $25 off your next purchase. It starts with finding deals you can't believe at Macy's Backstage. Off price, on trend, arriving daily. Make any $30 purchase and get a scratch-off card. Everyone wins $5, $10, or $25 off their next Backstage purchase. Monday, December 3rd through Sunday, December 16th. Go on, win the weekend. Saturday and Sunday. Details on card. For locations, visit Macy'sBackstage.com. You may want to rethink your weekend plans. When you head to Macy's Backstage, you could win up to $25 off your next purchase. It starts with finding deals you can't believe at Macy's Backstage. Off price, on trend, arriving daily. Make any $30 purchase and get a scratch-off card. Everyone wins $5, $10,